it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now, here's Leslie.
Good morning, Sunday morning. It's not Leslie yet. Whether you're an art maker, an art breaker, an art faker, or an art partaker, welcome all, because all are welcome, of course, to Homegrown, a show about local art, your show about local art. I'm the one that they call Clinton, and I'm here with the show's better half, third, and fourth, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Well, good morning, Clinton. How are you?
I am well, Leslie. How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful, because you know what? I am not in a corset this Sunday, so, you know, there's that.
See, no one put you in that corset last Sunday.
I know.
You seem so pleased to be in that corset last Sunday.
I was very pleased to be in the corset because, you know, when you're going to the opera.
The opera.
You need to be dressed appropriately. I was very happy to be in that corset until around 6:30 that same night when I had to leave the opera and directly go to rehearsal across the mountain and realized, oh, that's right. I've been in a corset since 7 a.m. and I'm not going to be out of a corset until like 9 p.m. Wait, I think I may have miscalculated.
Welcome to the 19th century.
So, you know, I can move, like my whole midsection is flexible today. I'm good.
Look at you. The feminist progression of women's clothing, right. all in a 24-hour span.
Hey, that's what you get when you tune into Homegrown. You know, just a little tidbits that you never expect.
Just little tidbits. What you also get, of course, is our near and dear compassion for parentals, which is why we do a parental advisory every show. Today's parental advisory goes out to parentals. And we tell you that at some point in the show, we may say, we'll try not to. Oh my goodness, we will try not to. But we may say the word macrophage. Macrophage.
Okay. What does that even mean?
It's best not to know.
Oh, okay.
Because knowledge leads to evil.
Oh, it does.
Knowledge leads to sin. Only in ignorance is there purity and bliss.
Wow. I didn't think you were a religious person, Clinton, but
I'm trying to find my way. I'm searching a bit.
Oh, okay.
Learning not to ask questions.
All right. I understand.
Sort of accepting it.
You're just accepting it.
Just accepting it. It's
okay.
Just a feeling that's very deep.
Right. And it's called faith.
It's called faith.
Yes, that's why.
My friend is called Faith. So it's very confusing to me.
Wait.
It's very confusing. The priests say, you should just believe in faith. And I said, she left me hanging the last two times we had lunch. It's very hard to believe in her.
But, you know, that's why you have to, though. It's because of, you know, you just close your eyes.
It's sort of a generosity of spirit.
Yes.
No matter how many times she leaves you hanging at lunch,
right.
You believe in faith.
Yes.
You schedule the next lunch.
Yes.
She'll show up eventually.
She will show up eventually.
You are so deep.
Because you know what?
What?
When she shows up, it will be the divine time for her to show up. That's what it is.
I wish that I could say it would be the second coming, but for her,
why are we talking like this?
I have no idea. We're going low on the amount of people that we offend during the show. We need to bring them up. Let's head to safe ground now. And our first guest joining Homegrown for the first time from Lighthouse Studios. Not the first time we've had someone from Lighthouse Studios, but the first time that we've had you from Lighthouse Studios. Welcome to Homegrown, Brooks Woman.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. So, according to the Lighthouse website, And let's see how accurate it is. You're the director of Corporate Granton Foundation Giving.
Yeah, it's a very long title.
It is a very long title.
Yes. Fundraising. That's what it is.
Ah, you see, that's less intimidating than director of Corporate Granton Foundation Giving.
Well, I like to be intimidating, so I'm glad it worked.
I'm sure. Does that work with fundraising? Being intimidating?
That's right. We just try to scare people into giving us money.
Give me the money!
That's so explains why I'm so bad at fundraising.
That's right, because you're not scary.
No, no one would be scared of Clinton.
No, I'm sort of, yes, I was about to do something that would certainly have insulted someone.
Oh, no.
For the record, I was about to do something that would have insulted Japanese females.
Oh!
And I did not go there.
Yeah.
Out of respect and deep fear.
Because you respect the women.
Indeed.
You do.
Indeed. And for the white people out there who are wondering how to get by in a new multiracial, pluralistic, cultural, respect and deep fear. Those two things go together. It might freak you out because you're like the fear. Should there be the fear?
No,
yes.
There should.
Yes, there should be the fear. Embrace the fear. It keeps you safe.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so... Corporate. So you are raising money from other organizations. Is that correct?
Well, primarily the corporate is local businesses. So we get a lot of local love from Charlottesville businesses. Mm-hmm. And then foundations are all that exciting grant writing. If you want to come over and help with grant writing, it's so fun.
Well, I don't know if I want to help with grant writing, but I definitely need to learn how to do it. So.
Yes, so lots of grant writing and lots of throwing fun parties, which is what we're going to do this week. So that's
Tell us about this fun party. Nice segue. Well done.
Yeah, I'm so good.
Tell us about this fun party.
Yeah, so this Friday, the 26th at the Paramount at 6 o'clock, we're having our 15th Youth Film Festival. So
15?
I know. Can you believe it? 15th. So we expanded it. We've done it at the Jefferson for a long time. We love the Jefferson. But this year we really wanted to pack as many people in as we could. So we expanded to the Paramount so that anyone can amble by. If you're at Fridays after 5 and you want something else to do, come on by. We're going to have a series of films by kids from our area. And mm-hmm. It's going to be a great night.
So you say you call it the Youth Film Festival. Does Lighthouse, because Lighthouse specifically deals with providing education and resources for filmmaking to youth.
That's right.
Are there any other type of film festivals that
in our area or that we put on?
Or that you guys put
this
on?
This is our only one. You can see our films at a bunch of festivals nationally.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. The Virginia Film Festival. We always have a screening of our students' work, so that'll come up in November. We are also participating. The National Endowment for the Humanities is celebrating their 50th anniversary. 50 years. NEH.
Without being defunded yet.
That's right. Can you believe it?
They're trying. They are still trying.
Yep. NEA, NEH, both 50 years old this year.
Can I just take a moment to poke the tiger?
Go ahead.
To
take
yank
a moment.
That tail.
Go ahead.
To do an open letter.
Yes, you may.
To anti-arts conservatives.
Go for it.
An open letter to anti-arts conservatives. 50 years? You couldn't do it in 50 years? Who sucks? You suck.
Okay.
With love from homegrown.
Yeah, so amazingly, 50th anniversary, and they're celebrating it here in Charlottesville, of all wonderful cities in the United States. Here in Charlottesville, that's September 14th to the 17th, and we're going to have an amazing screening on the 15th. African-American documentary filmmaker Stanley Nelson is coming. He is showing part of his film on the Freedom Riders and bringing 6 of the Freedom Riders with him.
No
yes.
joke.
So that will be at our theater.
Really?
Yes. That will be at Vinegar Hill Theater, which Lighthouse now owns, on September 15th. And that will be immediately preceded by a series of amazing short documentaries that local youth and national youth have created for the event. So we'll have those at 5:30, and then Stanley Nelson will come at 7:30 and screen his film. So we've got a lot of great screenings coming up.
Oh, Clinton, we are going to that.
Done. I am done.
Yes, and it's free and open to the public. So
we are going to that. We are going.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yes.
It really will be a great event.
Yeah. That sounds like a fabulous event.
Yeah.
How is it possible that you've got so many great things going on?
Isn't it amazing? We are just a great, small, local organization. And so if it has to do with kids and film, we're on it. So this Friday, the soonest event where you can come see our awesome films are this Friday, the 26th.
This is your main festival.
It's our main festival.
In terms of Lighthouse itself.
It is. It's the time where we take the best. Our students make at least 200 films a year in our workshops. And so we take the very best of those, only a dozen. And they're all, you know, around 5 minutes. So it's only an hour of films, and we show those. And what's really fun about the film festival this Friday is that there's a whole variety. Well, number one, if there's a film you don't like, it's going to be over in 4 minutes and you'll be on to something else.
So
that's nice. There's a whole variety. We've got documentaries. There's a music video in there, and that's featuring a local musician, which is great. There are narrative films where the kids write it, they cast it, they film it and edit it. So we've got narrative films. There's animation. Those are amazing. I mean, our kids, a 4-minute film might take 500 drawings that they've hand drawn and then turned into an animation. So it's really a top-notch selection of films. And listen, I have to say, if you say to me youth film, I'm kind of an art snob. I feel like youth
and
film.
And so are we.
Right.
Like kids, an 8-year-old, do I really want to see what they made?
Exactly.
But you would be surprised. If you're thinking that, you'll be surprised, because what these kids create, especially this creme de la creme of the films created in a year, are amazing. So prepare to be surprised by how good they are.
My. How does a small organization like yours support such a wide range of styles?
Well, so that's a great question. Part of it is that we just have the best mentors. Our instructors are great. They're film professionals themselves. Some of them are people that went through our programs when they were kids and went on to college, did film work, and come back and are mentors for us. We have mentors like Oscar award-winning documentary film director Paul Wagner, who is local.
Yes.
I mean, we have
thank goodness for Paul Wagner.
I know, isn't he the best?
Yeah.
He actually narrates one of our films that you'll be able to see on Friday, which is fun. He has a great voice if you haven't heard it. But so we just have a variety of in-house on our staff great filmmakers, and then we partnered last year. We paid 54 local artists to help mentor our kids. So those are artists, musicians, filmmakers that we help make a living, which I'm really proud of.
And that's you, right? That's on you getting those funds to pay those artists, right?
Please don't put it just on me. But yes, we do have to do the fundraising. And that's why an event like Friday, I don't know how familiar you are with, fundraising galas, but
I'm very familiar.
Yes, they can be fun.
But
it could be black tie.
Yeah, sure.
So they could be, a big gala event where you pay $250 and you have a good dinner and there's music. And that is very fun. But what's great about our event is that it's really active celebration. So it's family friendly, obviously, because our kids are 8 to 18 that make movies with us. So bring your kids. If you come for the VIP party, everyone can be a VIP at Lighthouse. If you come for that party at 6, your kids get their whole dinner, popcorn, pizza, drinks. Adults are going to have delicious food catered by Harvest Moon. And
Harvest Moon's great.
It's so good. And lots of free alcohol. Just, you didn't hear that, but
woo-hoo.
Didn't happen.
No, I heard that.
Star Hill is generously providing beer. Bold Rock is providing cider. There's wine. There's even some liquor. So all that is complimentary. You come, you have your dinner, your drinks. There's a photo booth, which will be really fun.
Oh, wow.
All that before we actually screen the films, which are an hour. So it's just for a fundraiser, because it provides, this event on Friday provides about 35% of our operating budget for the whole year. So it's a big deal for us. Every penny you spend there is going to go towards supporting our nonprofit. But it's also a really fun event. I mean, it's hot outside. You want something to do with the kids? Come inside the Paramount. It's air conditioned. And play around, eat your dinner, watch some great films, and help us out.
That just sounds like the thing.
Yeah, it's the thing. I will add one more thing. For the first time, for our 15th, we are doing a silent auction, which is really great. We've gotten so much local love. Your favorite restaurants, shops, artists have all donated. And the great thing is, even if you can't make it Friday, boo, surely you can make it Friday. But if you can't, you can still go on our website and you can bid on those items. You can get something great for yourself and know that it's supporting the arts. So,
wow.
She's got all the bases covered.
15 minutes past the hour, you're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Brooks Wellman from Lighthouse Studios, talking about the myriad events that they have coming up, but most importantly, about the fundraiser that they have coming up this coming Friday, their youth film festival, their annual youth film festival. Their 15th, right? Their 15th annual youth film festival. So you touched on it briefly when you talked about how much of your operating budget you get from this fundraiser. We try to announce as many artistic events as we think people will stand to hear about on this show. And who knows if it does any good, because at this point the list is getting so long, I'm just rocketing through them. From people, if anyone's listening, they're probably, what was that? What did he say? Was there something? I don't know. Some type of band, film, sculpture thingy.
That's right.
Who knows? But can you talk about the, and frequently we'll announce, I mean, we really, whenever I see a fundraiser, we really try to announce that because we know how important that is. Can you talk about the importance of fundraisers for arts organizations?
Yeah, absolutely. So especially for organizations like ours, which are local, we don't have, there's not a national branch out there somewhere supporting us. We were started here in Charlottesville by Charlottesville artists back in 1999. We're small. We have a small staff and a small budget. So for us, we're really, every dollar counts, every dollar we're using. So I think sometimes you think of, you know, a big nonprofit and it's sort of like, who knows where my money is going. But,
right.
But for us, it's going directly to the 1,000 students that we serve every year. And those students are, you know, your kids, they're kids you see around town because they're all local Charlottesville kids. We're also the only.
And how does it? Yeah. How far does it range? Is it just Charlottesville?
That's a great question. So last year we taught kids from over 70 schools. So
dig it.
I know. So some of those are from as far away as Florida. You know, kids come up for the summer, they visit relatives, or they just love film and they make a special trip to do it. But most of them are Charlottesville and Albemarle and the surrounding counties. And we really do go out pretty far, both in kids that we bring into our workshops. And then we also go to a lot of schools and partner nonprofits like Boys and Girls Club or Computers for Kids or the ESOL program at Albemarle High School, things like that. So we're engaging kids both at our amazing state-of-the-art facilities, but also going to them wherever they are to teach them film. So a fundraiser like the one that we have Friday really supports a very streamlined budget that we have to produce the best possible arts education for local youth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So I have to ask, jumping on something that you mentioned that you talked about earlier, Vinegar Hill.
Yes.
I've been here for a long, long time. So, so long.
So you miss Vinegar Hill, right?
I remember Vinegar Hill. I remember what it was. I remember what it has meant to me.
Yeah.
In terms of introducing me to films that I wasn't going to see anywhere else.
Exactly.
I was talking to a friend of mine who had never seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and that first came in to Vinegar Hill. And I remember I was telling him the story that I saw it, and it was just so, you know, Ang Lee. It was so lovely. It was so gorgeous that I did something that I had never done before and never done since. I walked out of the theater. I stood in this beautiful spring day And I sat there and thought, what the heck have I just seen? I turned right around, walked back in, got a ticket for the next show.
And doubleheader for the same film. That's amazing.
Right. Vinegar Hill has shows that, you know, would so when it went down, you know, there was a little part of me died.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get it. It's a cruel, cruel commercial world. So happy to hear that you guys jumped in. What has it been like?
Yeah. So I could talk for hours about Vinegar Hill because the history of that whole area is amazing. As you probably know, Vinegar Hill was originally a really thriving Black community, which was demolished for really no reason. Nothing replaced that thriving community for a long time. So
they needed some parking.
Yeah, exactly. So that area was really sadly demolished. Then in the 70s, you might not know, before the downtown mall was this pedestrian downtown mall, it had this really sort of radical 70s vibe. So there was an anarchist press right there on the corner where the theater is.
Really?
Yes. There was Daedalus Bookstore was started then, and Ann Parati and Chief Gordon started Vinegar Hill Theater. It was a motorcycle showroom, of all things. They bought it, converted it into a theater just to show foreign and independent films that you couldn't see anywhere else.
Right.
And eventually were just driven out by the big chains. They couldn't compete. So they were in operation 35 years. So
such a typical American story of somebody starting something small, starting something unique, starting a niche market, and through their hard work and endeavor, pushing that to the place where suddenly the mainstream catches on, and once the mainstream grabs it, takes it over and washes out the people who brought it out from the first place, right?
I agree. And so when that business finally shut its doors a couple of years ago, it had been there 35 years. So many people love that theater, film lovers and art lovers. You know, it was just a place you could gather. You'd see other art lovers. You'd see a great film. You could hang around afterwards. And so when they had to shut their doors finally 2 years ago, they did not want to sell to someone who was going to put up a condo there. They really wanted to maintain the theater if they could, but it obviously didn't work as a commercial business. The competition was just too strong. And so what were they going to do? At the same time, Lighthouse, which had grown from this tiny workshop in 1999 with a handful of students, was growing more and more. We were outgrowing our first facility. We got leased a second space. We were outgrowing that. So at the same time that they had to shut their doors, we were looking to expand. And who better to buy the theater than someone that would use it for independent film screenings? So
such a match.
So
such
great.
A match.
So a year ago in May, we bought it.
Have you kept the screening room?
We have.
And I guess so. If you're screening films there, what else is in the space?
You should come by and see it. It's usually open, and anyone should stop by. It's amazing. So we kept the screening room. We had to lose a few seats for handicap accessibility, but basically we've still got 184 seats. Everything in the theater, if you go in there, if you loved Vinegar Hill, it's going to feel very familiar. The old seats are there. There's still maybe some gum under those seats. Don't worry about it. But the theater itself has been completely re-outfitted. New screen, new audio, new projector, everything state of the art. You guys know audio panels. Mm-hmm. Everything in there is now state of the art and renovated. And then you'll probably know there was a restaurant always beside the theater.
That's right.
Yeah. So I think it was Last Camino, I believe. That space has been converted into a film studio and what will eventually be a library and our staff offices. So it looks great over there. We're really so proud of it. It was only a year ago that we bought the theater. And so last summer we used it some for our summer camps. And this summer we officially opened the doors. We had kids in there all day, every day, all summer making movies. And the great thing is that at the end of each of those camps, we got to screen those films on a big screen. What better for an 8-year-old than to write a movie, cast it, direct it, edit it, and then see it on a big screen with all their friends and family there. So it's great.
Amazing. Undeserving. They don't deserve such riches. Goodness gracious. I'm going to go over here and grump for a moment. Good. Yeah.
Don't be grumpy. Oh, my goodness. He gets this way. We'll just give him a moment. It'll be fine.
Black and white TV. I grew up with a black and white TV.
I know.
You had to get up and switch on the knob.
Okay, but there's water over there.
I was my family's remote control.
I know you were, dear.
Get the hell up and switch the channel. That was remote control in my house.
Yes. Yes, it was. Oh, my goodness. Please, just a minute. You're going to have to do the list of stuff. So just, you know, drink some water, take a breath. I'm going to thank Brooks for coming to talk to us.
Thank you for having
this is
us.
Amazing. And Clinton and I are definitely going to come in September because that sounds awesome.
So great. Come to Vinegar Hill on September 15th, 5:30. See great films from our students. And then you could meet Stanley Nelson and the original Freedom Riders. How exciting is that?
God, that's so amazing. Well, see, last summer, I got to meet a couple of different civil rights leaders from all over, because my mom is completely involved in everything, and took me to this day-long thing. And those are people I love to meet and talk to.
Well, and it's living history. If you think about it, that was not that long ago that they were fighting for these equal rights. So
exactly.
It's amazing to get to meet them in person. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Although you have to understand, it's a difficult thing for African Americans to meet such people because there's a whole formal thing that has to go, a ritual. We have to bow down. We have to thank them for their sacrifices.
Kiss the ground that they're walking on.
secret handshake. There's the ritual shoe shine that doesn't actually quite happen. It's a whole, but you know.
If you come in September, show me how to do it and I'll learn from the best.
That's awesome.
That is probably the best response to that joke that anyone could have had. Well done. Brooks, please give them the what, when, and where for this Friday again.
Yes, absolutely. So you can buy tickets by going on the Paramount's website or on our website, which is lighthousestudio.org. It's at 6 o'clock. It's a VIP party. Come get your dinner and drinks. Or if you want to just come and see the film screenings, doors open at 7:30 for that. And we would love to see you there at the Paramount on Friday the 26th.
Sounds great, Brooks. Thank you very much.
Thanks Lighthouse for having me.
Woohoo! All right. Oh, I'm done. I'm just done. But let's go and talk about some of the artistic things we have going on in our artistic area and town. I say this every week. That's because it's coming down to the wire. Currently running until August 28th. Sneaking up on you. The American Shakespeare Center summer season. We're talking Twelfth Night, King Lear by Shakespeare and the modern musical Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. Head over to Stanton. Catch it before it is gone. Stop catching those Pokemon. Catch some Shakespeare-emon. Get them. You gotta get them all. Gotta get them all.
What in the world are you talking about?
I am just going.
Okay, list.
I'm talking about art. Okay. Currently running until August 24th. There's a burglar in my bed at Oak Grove Theater in Verona, Virginia. Theater under the stars. Doing it outdoors for years and years and years. Go check it out before it goes. Last day today to catch Yamar Duwara, Artist of the River, at the Kluge Roo Aboriginal Art Collection. On August 22nd, UVA alum and SNL cast member Sashir Zamata does a comedy concert down at the Jefferson Theater. Check that sucker out. August 23rd to September 8th, Black Body, a digital video sculpture by Chris McDaniel at Ruffin Hall on the UVA campus. August 24th, it's the open mic night at the Bridge PAI. August 26th, Bent Theater Improv Company at the Bridge PAI. And August 26th also, Butchertown Burlesque Series from Richmond comes to the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Also, talking about going away from town on August 27th, if you want to get out, head to Waynesboro. It's the second annual Virginia Street Arts Festival in Waynesboro. We're talking artists and food, live music, street art, of course, featuring Open Walls. Check it out. And by the way, if you don't get the euphemism street art, we're talking graffiti. They're graffiting over there. It's not defeating, it's graffiting. Go check it out in Waynesboro. That sounds so hot. August 29th, auditions for Shakespeare at the Piedmont Virginia Community College. Piedmont Virginia Community College are going to do two Shakespeare shows this coming year, Macbeth and Much Ado About Nothing. They're having auditions for both on August 29th. Go check it out. And here is some of the musical options you have available to you. Today, Dharma Bombs from Richmond with Damn Tall Buildings and Jeremiah Tall at the Garage on First Street between Market and Jefferson. Also today, Teen Talent, high school songwriters at the Pro Renata Farm Brewery. August 24th, Quiet Fire at the Bebedero. Also, Red Hill and the Ramblers at Dr. Ho's Humble Pie. August 25th, the Michael Ellswick Gathering, followed by Lester Seal at Fellini's. August 26th, Gypsy Town at Wild Roof Brewery. And the Mary McLaughlin Trio with Gina Sobel at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar. August 27th, it's the Ragged Mountain String Band at Albemarle Cider Works, the Renee Ruth Duo at Wild Wolf Brewery, and Robert Jospe Express at Fellini's. Of course, every Sunday, it's Travis Elliott at Rapture. Every Monday, Singer-Songwriter Night at the Local. Every Tuesday, the Traditional Irish Session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, you got the Open Mic Night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery, Bob Bonetta at Cafe Katura, and the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. And on Thursday, it's every Thursday, Woolen Writers Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And of course, if you can't take that, head over to the mall and Miller's for the John Dearth Quintet. For every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth. If you are a local artist and have an event and want us to tell people about it, then we want to be the people who tell people about it. Give it to us on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvc, or you can email it to us at our handy dandy email address, homegrown947@gmail.com.
This is David Tewksbury, singer-songwriter from Charlottesville, Virginia, and you are listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
I just had to do that because it was David's birthday this week, so we needed to give him a little shout-out. Happy birthday, sweetie.
Give him some birthday love. 31 minutes past the hour, you're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art, brought to you by Blue Moon Diner. Blue Moon Diner, giving you breakfast all day, every day, with brunch on Saturday and Sunday, and carefully constructed diner food in the afternoons and evenings. And speaking of the evenings, Blue Moon Diner for years has favored us by supporting local and visiting artists. This week, Tuesday, the Junkie Twins rock from Brooklyn, New York. Wednesday, it's local singer-songwriter Deborah Guy's quartet, Help Me Helen. On Thursday, local blues and old-time musician Bill Adams. And Friday, Boston's Hoot and Holler at the Blue Moon Diner. Stay tuned after this, of course, for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Sean McCord. He is speaking to John Unsworth, new dean of the UVA Library. I believe he goes by Rockin' John Unsworth.
Really?
Really. I think that's... Rockin' John Unsworth.
He's the dean of a library.
Isn't that the official title for deans?
No.
Library deans? Rockin'?
No.
Rockin'?
No.
No?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I could check on that.
I think we should.
Hold on. Let me do the Google.
We should call... Is there a librarian in the house?
Never one when you need one, that's for sure.
You know what we need? We need our next guest.
That's what we need. We need our next guest. Our next guest. Chris Allen, stand-up comedian. Oh, my God.
Hey.
What's up?
What's up? How y'all doing?
Doing well. Okay, so I have to get this out of the way because, you know, every time I meet a comedian, that this is what I do, and I get varying responses.
It's a bad joke.
No. It's not a bad joke. I just say something funny. Right? You're a comedian, right? You need to say something funny.
It's tough.
That's cruel. That's cruel. You can't do a brother like that. That's cruel.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Got you back.
That's tough. People always do that. Hey, tell me a joke. It's like, it's not the right setting, not the right time. First off, let me say thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Great voice, Clinton.
Right? Doesn't he have an amazing voice?
Great voice. Great fro.
You should hear him sing.
Oh, you can sing too?
Oh, my God.
The voice makes up for the lack of body.
No, stop.
There's no lack of body. Come on, man.
See?
There certainly is no lack of body.
Hey,
I'm a big ass.
Hey.
I didn't know there was so much going on in Charlottesville. Film festival?
Right?
I'm saying.
Hey, 8-year-old making films. I got to be honest. That's got to be hard to watch. I think I've seen a film made by an 8-year-old. It's called Cloud Atlas. What a piece of crap.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
You got to, come on. You got to watch it more. You got to love Halle Berry in the white woman makeup, though. You got to love that.
Yes. I was. I was. I felt weird. I'm an adult.
You got to see it more than once.
That's like when people say, "Oh, this is a great show." But
I like him.
But you're gonna get through the first two seasons. I'm like, I'm not gonna sit through the TV to get the one good episode.
Thank you.
Not gonna do it.
I like him. I like him. We're gonna bring him back. I like him.
Please do.
Because I completely agree. I'm not sitting through anything I don't like.
Two episodes, maybe three. Maybe three.
See, if you're not sitting through anything you don't like, that explains your marital history. Oh!
For me?
Oh!
I've been married for 11 years.
No, it explains my marital history. And you're right. It does.
How many times have you been married?
Only once. Never doing it again.
Mm-mm. How long were you married for?
We were married for 4 years, but we were together for 7.
See, he's not listening, but I had a cousin who was with his girlfriend for probably 10 years, and they got married, and it lasted like 15 minutes.
Right.
I think what happened was they put that label on it, and it just got kind of real and scary.
No, let me tell you what happened. I said, I do. And for some reason in his brain, that meant that I was now his property. And that meant that he was then able to tell me what to do and where to go and I was like, ho, have you met me? You've spent like years with me, right? You know that ain't me, right?
She said I do, and he turned around and said, okay, now let me tell you all the things you don't do anymore.
Women do that.
And I said, oh, okay, go ahead and give me that list. All right, bye. No, he was not.
Asian?
No.
Pacific Islander?
He was an African American.
Was it? Okay.
Yes.
I don't know, y'all light skinned women got attitudes. So, I mean, you probably have to bring that in a little bit. I mean, y'all get the good
hair. You know what? If you can't deal with my attitude, then obviously you got to go somewhere. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I mean, I'm me, and I'm going to continue to be me. And if you can't handle it, then you're lost. But I will say, black men don't like me, normally.
Why not?
They don't like, I don't know. I have no idea. I would love a brother. I would love a brother.
Because she is truth, and you can't handle the truth.
That's right. I'm telling you, but you know. Yeah, black men don't like me. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. They just, I don't know. White men love me.
Really?
Love me. Love me.
That's what we need to do. We need to find you a partner. Not talk about comedy.
Please.
Hey, let's talk about the LYAO comedy show.
If you're 6'5", dark skin, great job. Call in. She needs a husband.
Ooh, I like how he said 6'5". He knows me.
6'5".
Sending out the brother call. Respect. Sending out the brother call.
750 and above credit score. Other than that, don't even think. Don't waste your time, buddy. Okay. Go
and don't be clingy.
Don't be clingy.
So you were the host. Of the LYAO Comedy Showcase. Jeff, have we decided whether or not I can tell what the LYAO stands for on the air yet?
He says yes.
Finally, the LYAO Comedy Showcase, which stands for Laugh Your Ass Off, right?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. That series was started by the folks at the Southern, Danny Shea. Great guy. He's the booker there. And I moved to Charlottesville almost 2 years ago, and
we've been putting on some great shows. It's been a lot of fun. We've had Kyle Kinane. We've had Carmen Esposito, Mark Norman, and a bunch of other great comics down there. And I also run the open mic that we do there every month. It's always packed. So please, if you like comedy or you want to try comedy, come out to the Southern. Actually, this coming up Wednesday, August 24th, come on down to the Southern. Sign up and bring your friends and just have a good time.
Awesome. Awesome. And so as a comedy open mic, is it open to anyone?
Any comic, yeah, anybody that wants to try comedy, come on down.
Okay, so I got to ask, because I know there are people out there. I know there are a bunch of people out there who are thinking to themselves, you know, they see stand-up, or they think about stand-up and think, you know, I could do it. Or maybe they've got friends who are like, yes. Oh, man, you're so funny. You should do stand-up.
Yes.
What do you say to those people who are on the fence? How do you know if you really should do stand-up?
How do you know? You know what? If you find yourself not being able to watch it because it makes you too anxious, or even if you have the inkling that you want to do it, that means you want to do it. You know what I mean? That means you want to do it. Don't wait, because I've had so many people come up to shows and go, oh, I'll go up next show. I tell you this, don't wait. Don't say, well, I got to write material, I got to do that, because that's just an excuse. Just come out and do it. I'll also be honest, it probably won't go great the first time.
Right.
It won't. But you'll get it done, because the first time you do stand-up is really about just getting in front of that microphone and speaking in front of it and just catching that bug. So I don't have the material, I'm waiting for this, I'm waiting for that. Don't let that stop you. Just come on out, give it a try. Trust me, you'll have a blast. It's so much fun. I mean, I started about 9 years ago, and it's the best thing in my life besides, you know, becoming a father. It's so much fun.
Mm.
It's a blast. There's no feeling like getting that laugh from a crowd over a joke that you wrote at your kitchen table, or something that you jotted down in your phone while you're at the mall waiting for your wife to, you know, try something on or something. It's a lot of fun. Hey, what?
so how do you get by? I mean, I hear you. You get a laugh. That's got to be a great feeling.
Yes.
How do you get through Bump? Because I'll share my. Can I be real with you?
No.
Can I? Can I be fake with you?
Yes. Yeah.
So I did. I tried stand up once, many years ago.
Come on out.
And Hiroshima exploded again. The bomb. I bombed so badly. It was the desert.
Where was it at? Here in town?
No, it was just towns away, okay. Cities away. Another place.
Years.
Another time. So badly did I bomb that I went out and took contracts out on all of the audience so that no one.
That's typical.
No one could know.
That's typical.
How badly. How do you. And never touched it again. How do you come back from the bomb?
You know, you needed to go to another show and just say, you know what, hey, because with stand up, every show, every set you do is it's a thing on its own. Like when you work the Funny Bone or whatever, there's two shows a night. You can go up there and destroy at the 7:30 show and then do the same material at the 10 o'clock show and get nothing.
Mm.
Get nothing. Mm. That's the biggest hurdle you have to get over as a young comic, is your jokes not going well. And I think this is kind of a technical thing when it comes to comedy, but a lot of young comics,
we get technical here.
A lot of young comics, they tell their jokes with a lot of crescendo, you know, and they do that thing where they get that pause at the end of their joke, and you get nothing, and it really hurts because you're like, and then she stepped on my foot, and no one laughs, and it's like, oh my God. Then you go into the next joke, and you do it again, you get nothing. The biggest hurdle of a new comic is just getting over the fact that everyone's not going to laugh at every joke. It's just learning to just push through. Sets start not going well. I mean, and I still struggle with it. I work with comics that have been doing comedy for 20 years, and they still struggle with it, depending on the show. But once you can get over the fear, like, it's not going to go well, then you'll be fine. There has to be a certain degree of not really caring what the audience thinks of you.
Wow.
To a certain degree. You can't care.
That's so interesting, because Leslie and I do a lot of theater. And theater is about, I mean, theater is so about connecting with the audience.
Yeah, comedy.
We've had musicians here, and certainly if you're, like, if you're up there, you just got to hear the guitar, your keyboard, whatever, it's just you, there's a connection with the audience. I can't imagine that there is an art form that seems more
naked.
When you are more out there, when you are more, it's more you in the audience than stand-up.
It's very personal. It hurts when your jokes don't go well. I've noticed all the jokes that I've written where I'm like, oh, this is going to just destroy. And you get up there and you tell a joke and you get nothing. You get nothing. And then there's some jokes you're like, ah, this might be okay, and it kills.
Mm.
It's like, huh, okay. And there's a lot of jokes that you write that you might think is going to be like this huge thing, and it does okay. And that joke, that little small joke that you write that you wrote might be part of a smaller, part of a bigger joke. Sometimes, you know, it's just like some people might think something is a full feature length movie, but it's really a short. Same thing with jokes. You know,
nice.
It might be a tag. It might not be a joke in itself. So that's the fun part, is trying to figure out, is this a full joke? Is this a tag? Is this that? Is that, you know?
And that sounds like, because it's so great to hear you talk about this, because, of course, that's writing.
Yes.
Right? And I think a lot of people think about comedy. I mean, what we see is the performing,
mm-hmm.
right? And what we see, and that's our access to it. But you're giving us a glimpse into the rest of it, which is the work behind it, the work that goes up to it, the writing about it. And we've talked to, you know, to like fiction writers about it and to playwrights. It's about editing.
Yeah, right? It is. Yeah. And that's what all comic is. You really want to trim down the jokes to the bare minimum. You know, the fewer the words, the better. There are some comics who are really good at telling really long stories, but if you tell a long story, you need to have many punchlines in there. And at the end, it better be a big, big boom at the end. And I think that's where some younger comics go wrong. They see guys like Louis C.K. or Bill Burr tell these long story jokes and go, oh, I can just tell that story about that thing that happened to me in high school. And you get up there, you tell a 7-minute story, and you get nothing because there's no jokes within the story.
Right.
So some more advice I would give to a younger comic is try to write shorter jokes.
Mm.
You know, I've tried to tell long stories up there, and it really hurts your ego when you're up there for 2 minutes and people are just listening and you're not getting any laughs. And then your brain starts to go, oh my God, I'm dying here. And you start scrambling, then you stutter, and then next thing you know.
And then it's just all down. It's just all down.
I've been booed before. It's not fun.
Ooh.
Yeah,
ooh.
Cincinnati Funny Bone. I got booed off stage, and I went there with a buddy of mine. We drove from Dayton, and I felt bad because when he went up, I was like, please boo him so we can go home. and he kills, and he wants to stick around, so I got to sit there. And it was a black crowd. When the black crowd doesn't like you, they let you know. it was awful, but it was one of my biggest fears, and it happened, and I was like, you know what? I lived through it. So not that I want to have it happen again, but I did learn that it won't kill me. You know what I mean?
So what is your personal preference? Do you, for your own material, do you prefer story jokes? Do you prefer observational humor? Do you a lot of short, quick jokes? I mean, what?
I like it all. I like Mitch Hedberg, who was kind of a quirky, really alt comic, just mm-hmm. weird jokes. I like Bill Hicks. He was really political. I like Patrice O'Neill, kind of misogynistic. You know, I don't share his views a lot of times, but most of the time. But the way that guy could turn an audience and get them to listen to very controversial things. You know, mm-hmm. same with Bill Burr. I like comics who are willing to make the audience think about their own thought process and like, you know what? Okay, he has a point there. I don't agree, but he has a point, and it was funny. That's the biggest thing. And it was funny.
And it was funny.
You know, and it was funny. I like guys like that. You know, we have a lot of great up-and-coming comics here in town. A lot of young talent, kid, Pace
Campbell.
Yeah,
what is the code? Actually, okay, so we need to do a drop, and then I want to ask this question. 46 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and it's Homegrown, a show about local art brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. If you're just tuning in to us, welcome. Idiot. We're sitting here talking to Chris Allen, stand-up comedian and host of the Southern Cafe and Music Hall's LYAO Comedy Open Mic Showcase. Back to Chris.
Hey.
What's up, Chris?
Hey.
Hey, what was I going to ask you?
About the local talent.
Yes, so what's the local stand-up scene like in Charlottesville?
We have quite a few guys. We have our regular staple, like Ken Edwards. He's out of Waynesboro, but he comes to Charlottesville all the time to do shows. We got Paige Campbell and Winston Hodges, who lives in Richmond, but he comes here for every show that we have. And we got a bunch of other guys up and coming. We really want to get the UVA students plugged in because that's the key to building the scene. It's mm-hmm. kind of hard for me as an older guy to try to go down to the corner or these bars and go, hey, can we have an open mic there? But if we can get the students involved, I would advise them that, hey, go down to whatever bar or coffee shop and go, hey, we want to do comedy here. They know all the kids and all that kind of stuff. They can bring in the audience, and I think that's the key to building the scene. But we've got a nice little core of comics, and we do some traveling. We go to Richmond. I take guys to D.C. I've been doing comedy longer than most of the guys here, so I'm a little bit more well-connected, and I get on some bigger shows. So what I like to do is take them along with me and to introduce them to comics in D.C. and just different cities. And if I can, get them stage time and just introduce them to the business side of comedy. So it's a lot of fun working with the younger comics, you know. So
dig it.
Who is that?
All
right.
Is that our boy David?
What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Davon Strong, the DVS. Yes. Somebody say hello. What's up, Dave?
No, I'm good. I just wanted to say I was listening to you in the car on my way here. And
are you chewing gum on the radio?
I am. So
you don't have a mustache.
You know what? Because my breath is funky. I just had to get a Hardee's chicken biscuit. No, dead ass. I just came back from Brooklyn, and they don't have Hardee's in Brooklyn. So I just
They not have Hardee's in Brooklyn? Brooklyn, get it together. Get another terrible fast food joint.
I'm saying.
The hipsters have yet to start.
No, but a Chick-fil-A biscuit is off the chain. Like, I would have pushed the baby in the rush hour traffic.
Whoa, hey
David.
Now.
Well, you know, it's rush hour traffic, so it's really like you're just pushing it into a parked car. Oh. But, like, you know, I'm just playing. Like you were talking about all the comics like that influence you, and I'm right there with you. So I just appreciate you being on the show.
Appreciate you guys having me.
You know, your expertise in the comic field, and you know, Clinton talking about bombing, right there with you, boss.
He is holding that gum so daintily. I like that.
You know,
so
I gotta
class.
Save it. You know, because I don't want to be like in your face breathing chicken biscuit.
Is that
in
big,
your face.
Big red? What do you got
this
there?
This is a big red. You know, nice. I'm bringing it back. I'm old school.
I know my chewed gum.
All right.
I know my chewed gum.
That's a sad sign there. That's a sad sign there. He's looking around. He's like, what's that down there? Is that a Bubba Yubba? No, that's
Big Red all day.
Give me that.
I can tell. That's been treated about 7-8 minutes. I can tell by the texture and consistency. It's about 8 minutes of chew on there.
Chris, thank you so much for coming.
That's it. That is it.
Tell people the what, where, when of the Laugh Your Ass Off Showcase.
All right, so this Monday we have Sashir Zameda from SNL along with Mateo Lane, who is a huge up-and-coming comic out of New York.
I know Mateo.
Yeah, you know, Mateo, Wednesday we're back at the Southern for the open mic, and Friday.
Back at the Southern.
Yes, and Friday we're at Holly's Deli over across from Firefly. We do shows at Fellini's as well every first Friday upstairs in the lounge there. The scene is growing, and we just picked up another room at the Annie Room. So that should be fun. And if you want to try comedy, please come out and go to Facebook and like our page, Charlottesville Comedy, and you can follow me on Twitter. And on Instagram at Chris Allen Comedy. That's A-L-A-N because my parents cannot spell. So that's Chris Allen Comedy, A-L-A-N. Thanks for having me. Guys, don't forget, we got a light-skinned woman here looking for a tall, dark, 6'5", athlete, six-pack, 750 credit score.
Don't encourage her.
And don't try to make her do any. Don't try to make her improve on her life. She likes how she is now, so don't try to better her, but she can definitely change you. Thanks, Clinton, for having me. I'm Chris Allen, everybody. You have a good show. Good night. Thank you.
Chris Allen. He does not lack. Can't wait to have him back. It's 51 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, your show about local art, brought to you by Blue Moon Diner. And now it is time where we drop knowledge with or without rhymes. It's Leslie's weekly rant.
Why, thank you, Clinton. So for those of you that follow Twitter, you may have seen the picture Ellen DeGeneres posted. If you missed it, she posted a picture of herself superimposed on Usain Bolt's back as he ran in one of his races. Her caption read, "This is how I'm doing my errands from now on." Some of you may have chuckled at it. I didn't. I appreciate a joke as much as the next person, and I get it. He's fast. I tried to look at the post as art. It's an expression. It gave lots of people a chuckle. Lots of people shrugged it off and said, oh, it's just Ellen being her funny self. Lots of people said when she received backlash for the post that she's not a racist. She was just making a lighthearted joke. Well, I wasn't laughing. And here's why. This is an illustration of how racially disparaging images and jokes are accepted in our society. We've all heard the jokes told at the expense of any marginalized part of society, right? Blondes, Jews, priests and rabbis. The black community has endless numbers of yo mama jokes. And we all laugh. We wince, but we laugh. Ellen's joke is in the same vein, although less ruthless. But I submit that it doesn't mean her joke is any less insidious. When you look at the history, and let's face it, the continuation of racism and slavery in this country, her lighthearted picture takes on a sinister undertone. Because yes, Africans were used and viewed as chattel, as livestock. It was at the least inappropriate and at worst racist. And her incomprehension of that and declaring, "But I'm not like that," is a reaction to her own white guilt. And frankly, her privilege is showing. And for those of you that continue to say that she didn't mean it that way, so it's okay, I submit this to you. We hold people accountable for their actions, not their intentions. If you hurt someone, you are supposed to make amends. If you commit a crime, you are supposed to do the time. If you make a racist comment or joke, then yes, you are a racist, and you should make amends for that as well. The protection of, "I'm not like that, I have black friends, I don't see color, I see the person," doesn't cut it anymore. We are not in a post-racial society. We never have been. And we need to recognize that and hold everyone accountable for the things they say and do. Ellen needs to realize that as a white woman, posting a picture of her riding the back of the fastest black man in the world is racist. And if she doesn't want to be viewed as such, she may want to get over herself and recognize her mistake and make amends. And that's the weekly rant.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
You have a problem with this? Seriously? A white woman superimposed herself on a black man's back as he was running, and you haven't... You really?
Talk about
really?
Getting over yourself. Don't you know? Did anyone tell you? You are so behind the times. So behind the times. Post-racist... No, I agree with you. It is not the post-racist society. It is not the post-racial society. It is the re-racial society. It is the neo-racial society. The ascendance of Donald Trump has come. And don't you realize they don't have to apologize for anything anymore?
Well, if
no
she doesn't have to apologize for it, then why did she?
Thing.
Then why did she? She tried to blow it off.
She is stuck behind the times. She does not know. She does not realize it is the new racism. It is sweeping across the nation. It is people feeling good about making other people feel bad and not feeling bad about the fact that you feel good about it.
New racism. No. No. And you know what? It's only going to be that if we let it be that.
Big time.
No. It's only going to be that if we let it be that.
The wall we are building is to keep out the Mexicans. We are not building a wall to keep out the things that we say.
Clinton.
No more politically correct. It is time to get incorrect.
I'm fine with not being politically correct.
The Don is
I'm
coming.
I'm a little upset the about Don being blatantly racist, however.
Like a macrophage.
What
he will gobble
oh
up
my God.
Everything around.
You have gone around the bend. Okay?
Time.
You have gone around
oh
the bend.
Oh my goodness.
It is so time for
it's
your medication.
Just, it's just all of spoken.
No. It's so time. For your medication
spoken.
Right now.
The people have written.
No.
They have
the
misspelled.
People,
they have dropped apostrophes. They have misused there and there. But the image is clear. The message is out there. You don't need to spell to put a Confederate flag on
oh
your Twitter feed.
Oh, my God.
It's there. Yes.
Oh, my God. He has so gone round the bend.
Back. New and improved.
It's I back. Don't know what.
It's back.
Okay. All right. Well, he's slammed the door in his glee. That's the only word I can. Oh, my God. Oh, okay. There's going to have to be lots of medication after this show. I'm sure for you all as well, if you were listening to that. We want to thank Brooks Wellman from Lighthouse Studios for coming by. Don't forget to go to the Film Festival August 26th at the Paramount to support this wonderful organization. And we want to thank Chris Allen, stand-up comedian from Laugh Your Ass Off Comedy Open Mic. August 24th at the Severn Cafe and Music Hall. Drop by. Stay tuned for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with Sean McCord. Thank you so much for listening. We will see all of you next week.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.